Welcome to The Living Waters, a daily source of inspiration and clarity from Scripture. Pastor Gary Finch connects God's Word to our everyday lives, helping us find strength, purpose, and peace in the gospel of Jesus. It's a journey into faith that will undoubtedly nourish your spirit and anchor your soul in the beauty of salvation found only in Christ. Now, our host, Gary Finch.
Today, I'm kind of on a rant, and I promised myself I wasn't going to do it. Last session, we talked about apostles and the new apostolic church. I want to go to Acts 1. Acts 1, starting at 20, says, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have campaigned with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias." And it goes on to tell us that they cast the lots, and in Bible study groups over the last year, this thing comes up over and over again about casting lots. And from a child, I was taught it was sort of like casting dice, but of course in the Baptist church, if they caught you casting dice, they should convict you to hell, you know. So it's hard for me to believe that the original church was tossing dice. I don't know. Maybe they were. I wasn't there. But I've come to believe the casting of lots may well have been a vote. We pray to God that he will burden those and that the vote will go the way he wants it to go, which is the same system we should use in political elections today. Pray to God that he will guide you to cast the vote the right way. But either way, whatever they did, they came up and they decided that Matthias was the answer. And he became the 12th of the 12. Like I say, after the ascension of Christ, Christ chose another one, especially to be the apostle to the Gentiles. I have one or two friends that don't like Paul at all. They say he's a false apostle, and they can't follow his teaching because they're opposite of Jesus Christ. I've read it and read it and read it, folks. Paul wrote over half of the New Testament. The scripture tells me Jesus chose him to be the apostle and the vessel to the Gentiles. I just don't see how you can be part of a New Testament church and want to eliminate 50-some percent of the New Testament and the New Covenant. Paul is the man that Jesus Christ chose, and he made him an apostle. This makes 13. Did he meet the criteria that Luke tells us? I don't know, and I'm going to say this, but I want you do whatever you want to do with this. Did he see Christ for the 3 years he was walking around? He was out persecuting the church. I would say he was following the actions of Christ in the church pretty well to be out trying to persecute and in many cases actually condemn and kill the new church. Did he witness the resurrection? I can't comprehend that you were in Jerusalem at that time and you didn't understand that Christ had come out of the tomb. I can't understand in the year 2026 that we have people that still don't understand Christ came out of the tomb. It's history, not just biblical history. It's in historians wrote about it. You can go over there and look in the tomb. It's empty. So anyway, where I'm going is apostles. These are the apostles. They were set up 12, 13 to build the church, to lead the church, to spread the word across the whole world. As they went and set up new churches and put teachers and preachers in them and proceeded, and the Holy Spirit poured out spiritual gifts on the churches to edify the churches, it multiplied. It multiplied over and over and over and over. Today, sometimes it looks like it ain't multiplying no more, it's shrinking, but the word is still being taught. And the church is still multiplying. We're seeing a phenomenon in today where young people, especially young males, which have been among the first to run and leave the church since the 40s or 50s, you know, are coming back to the church. I got teenage boys in my church that 4 years ago, there wasn't nobody in it didn't have white hair, except a couple of us that evolved. God is touching people. The Holy Spirit is moving people. They're coming back. My biggest fear when I go to the pulpit or when other people go to the pulpit is these young people are being convicted and brought into the church as seekers. Are we providing answers? Because the biggest failure the church has is not realizing when the tide changes and not having answers for people. We've got to be ready. I got one person in my church, I bet he's told me 100 times in the last 6 months, if you want to be a big church, you've got to act like a big church. Now that don't mean we got to go into mass business, but we got to be ready. We got to be ready when people come in. We got to meet them at the door. We got to talk to them. We got to love them. We got to make them feel comfortable. These kids come in and you look around in your church next week, if you haven't had them and don't have them, and you start to see teenagers and young adults coming in the door, don't send them to the senior women's Sunday school class. Get a teacher. Get these people ready. Do what God has called you to do. Make them feel comfortable. Teach them the word. Don't make them feel uncomfortable. Don't call them up in the front of the church and make examples out of them and embarrass them and do all of these things. Teach them. When it gets time for them to come to the front of the church and tell the whole church they've accepted Jesus Christ, God will make that decision. God will make that decision. You ain't got to beat them every Sunday, because I'm going to tell you, I was a teenager in a Southern Baptist church in South Mississippi. And when you turn 12 years old, you may as well go on to the altar. Because if you didn't, he's going to single you out every Sunday. And along about 15, 16 years old, I said, I had all this I could stand. And I left. And most of my friends left. And some years later, Christ got a hold of us and brought us back. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. Teach, love, you know. I keep thinking, Jesus said, love your neighbors as you love yourself. He didn't say, just torment them to death till you get them to put their name on the membership line. It's just, we're running backwards, folks. We're running backwards. So, I started out on this before I got started off on teenagers. Apostles. If you need an apostle, at this point in time in history, I believe that we've missed something terrible, because the apostles were to set up and start the church. And until the Holy Spirit or the Word of God that I happen to be sitting here holding tells me that I need apostles in my church, we ain't going to have no apostles in my church. We got teachers. We got preachers. We got people that'll love you and serve you and help you. And we have people that exhibit a lot of spiritual gifts. But we ain't got no apostles. We read a whole lot from the apostles, especially Paul, because we profess to be Gentiles, which is a whole nother subject. I can't go there right now. Folks, why do we have to have time? Do you know that pastors is not a biblical title? Reverend John, Reverend Doctor, that's not a biblical title. Teachers, preachers, that's where we need to be. All right, I can't beat up on this church all day. I got to leave this apostolic church alone. I'm just telling you, if your purpose in your church is to promote and advance apostles and prophets, I think you're running contrary to the service, okay? And those of you that know me, you got my number. Go ahead and call me and tell me how horrible I am. But we don't need to remake the church. We need to roll the church back 500 years, not keep making new ones and new ways to go. All right, so I'm going to leave that one right there, okay? I hope that you'll look at the scripture and you'll think about it and you'll pray for guidance and understanding. And if you come out of it with an understanding that I have no idea what I'm talking about, follow the Spirit, but test the spirits. All right. I hope you guys have a good day. Thank you.
That was Living Waters with Pastor Gary Fench, a daily dose of faith, clarity, and inspiration. Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, keep seeking truth and walking in His light, and join us again tomorrow or log on to catch Pastor Gary's past episodes on WVFFradio.com. Thanks again for staying tuned to 97.7 FM, Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.